Welcome to Decom Divas with Jana. And I have a very fun, interesting, and kind person joining me. Hello, Jacob.
Hello.
He's shaking his head.
I'm not kind at all.
You want people to know that you're not kind. Oh my God. Well, what would you, if you were describing yourself, what adjectives would you use?
I don't know. I always go with tall, dark, and handsome, but
yeah, you know. No, I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say.
But as far as personality wise, I don't know about nice.
You're super nice.
Yeah, but I feel like that just makes me feel like, you know, like that nerd kind of kid in high school that's just like, you know, I made cupcakes for everybody, you know?
You never did that?
No. Okay. Matter of fact, my mom made cupcakes for my birthday, which happens to be on April 1st.
Oh, and then she put up. That's kind of perfect for you.
Yes, it is perfect for me. But she decided that she would play an April Fool's prank on one of the kids and put a pickle in one of the cupcakes.
Like, and you bite into it and you're biting into a pickle.
I was mortified.
Oh my God.
Because I was really good at social things back then. So yeah, I was definitely mortified. I was like, I am so sorry. I don't remember at this point, but it was definitely not somebody that I was like, if they get it, they'll be fine. They'll think it's funny. It was definitely like somebody I wasn't even like mildly friends with. And they're like, why is there a pickle in my cupcake? My mom thought she was funny. I don't know.
I kind of like that idea. In theory, that's perfect.
I mean, I am the April Fool. So that's, you know, what more do you need?
Yes. Oh my God. So Jacob, how did we meet?
We met through the theater.
Yes.
We did this nice little show called Evil Dead, the musical.
Which listeners have heard me talk about a shit ton. Yes.
That's good. That's good because it should be talked about more because it's such a fun experience for both the audience and the cast.
Yes. So. It's one of the fun. I think it is the funnest show I've ever been in. You've been in it 4 times.
Yeah.
One of the most.
I mean, I wouldn't keep coming back if I wasn't enjoying it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I asked you to be on the podcast because I've done the show with you twice. But this year I got on the topic of it and I was actually very pleasantly surprised that you wanted to, because you don't strike me as a Disney Channel person at all. Are you?
I am not. And the obvious reason of that is I'm much, much older than probably any of the other guests you've had on here.
My parents have been on this, so
third. and it's interesting, and I think you may end up regretting this because I'm not the perfect person for this podcast, or it might work out because I'm not the right person.
I think the latter is true. Yeah.
When we're talking about like the time periods that I think you're mostly
early
talking
2000s,
about,
late 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 90s for me was high school and middle school. So like the time period is a little bit different, or at least where I was in my life is much different than probably what most people here were doing.
Yeah.
But I also kind of came from a less fortunate family. So we didn't have a lot of TV when I was growing up, and I didn't find out about this until much, much later when I learned how things work. Mm-hmm. We had a giant TV that only was hooked up to our VCR. If I'd have known all I had to do was pull that cable out from the wall and attach it, I could have been watching TV the entire time.
Yes.
But nobody told me that because I was a kid and, you know, they wanted us to be, you know, perfect little soldiers or whatever.
Wait, to an extent, I had parents who kind of monitored what I watched, not crazy strict. Like, I could watch Harry Potter. I know some people aren't allowed to, but were you pretty closely monitored as far as like what you were allowed to watch?
Yes. Yeah. We literally only had the tapes that we owned, which were mostly, you know, Disney movies and things like that.
Okay. So you're not far into Disney, just Disney Channel.
No,
you're not.
I'm just not. Yeah. Disney Channel, Nickelodeon. That was past my prime. Yeah, my parents, I don't know how or why they came and landed upon this decision, but because they were Mormon, they wanted one of the things is they want you to not watch anything above PG-13. So I think that was
grown ass adults.
Yeah, yeah. So like they took that and just kind of ran with it in the other direction. But I think on the plus side, that's kind of why I have like more of an old soul kind of feel, because I was watching a lot of old school movies and things like that from like early black and white, like to whatever. And so like I think, yeah, without having like the Disney Channel or whatever, I still feel like I've got like a good handle on that stuff, but at the same time I missed out on some stuff, you know. I missed out on some stuff that I had to go back and rewatch later as an adult when I was able to, you know, get control of it for myself.
Did you find that you didn't have like the same references or like TV show stuff than like people you like were growing up with in high school in that kind of era?
I think I was on the outskirts of it. Like I knew of the product or the thing or whatever it was, but I maybe didn't watch it until I got to like late high school when I was able to go over to friends' houses and they'd show me. I think it was maybe my freshman or sophomore year was the first time I saw an R-rated movie.
Yes. Yeah. And what was it? I have to know.
It was Desperado.
Oh, okay, nice.
Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek. And I've been in love with Salma Hayek ever since.
She's beautiful. That is a great way to, so she's your, like, is your celebrity crush?
Well, let me just put it this way. You know, once you've seen how beautiful she is, you can't go back to watching The Lion King and have the same perspective on life.
No. Oh my God. I totally get that. Yeah. Well, did you ever I'm guessing you did a good job at keeping this secret, but did you ever get in trouble or your friends' parents got in trouble because you watched something that you weren't allowed to watch, or were you pretty like, you knew this had to stay a secret?
Yeah, I think, I don't have the greatest memory, but I can tell you two things. Like I know that I for certain didn't tell my parents certain things.
Yeah.
And I know that the one or few times that I did tell them what was going to happen, I paid for it. I remember specifically.
Do you have any fun stories about that?
Well, I'm remembering an instance specifically where a friend of mine, and this has probably got to be at least like in elementary school, maybe middle school, but they were going to have a party, a pizza party, and they were going to watch Teen Wolf.
Oh, nice, nice.
And my mother would not let me go because Teen Wolf was above whatever age restriction, or maybe she found out that there was, you know, a hint of boob in it. So she's like, no. you're not going to go see this movie and have a party with your friends. And I remember that I threw a fit.
Really?
I think I destroyed my room. I was just so pissed off. I was like, this is unjust. This is unfair. You know, like, I'm grown up. I can handle it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did you get to go?
Nope. Get to go.
Oh my God. Were you grounded for destroying your room or?
Probably. Yeah. I probably told her that I hated her and all sorts of things.
Yeah. Every kid has to do that to their mom and dad at least once.
Sure. It's a rite of passage. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. So when you could start watching your own stuff, what was your shit?
Funny enough, it was The Simpsons and Futurama and stuff like that. Like I think it was that kind of arrested development kind of thing. Like I kind of saw things that a child would see or like a young person would see and kind of started from there and expanded from there. I think we were talking earlier, definitely because I was of the mindset that I thought, you know, I wanted to be in the film business doing screenwriting or doing something like that, that I, by high school, I was very much paying attention and going out and seeing movies and just paying attention to that world and really just kind of immersing it in myself as much as I could at that time. And then once I was able to move out of the house and all that sort of stuff, it just came like a waterfall. I was watching everything all at once, all the time.
Yeah. What was that like? I know that's a broad question, but like, did it feel like, you know how Amish people get like their Rumspringer or whatever?
Yeah, I would assume on like a smaller level, it felt like that. Yeah, I definitely felt like I'm sure it changed my entire personality or like my social, you know, ability to, you know, reference things and whatever, like, and I'm sure at the time I wasn't watching anything that was on the cusp then either. Like, I'm sure I was watching things that were dated like 5 years back then, but as a person defining time, that's such an important time in your life.
Yeah. So you, like, you came of age kind of in the 90s, you would say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? I'm born in 94, so I don't have a huge memory of the 90s, only the tail end. So I'm envious that you got to experience that.
Yeah, it was, so we're talking middle school through high school and a few years after. So, I mean, obviously those are the teenage years. So very, very awkward and very kind of.
Were you an awkward teen? I mean, I guess everyone is to an extent, but would you call yourself?
I think everybody feels like they're an awkward teen at one point in time. Like I definitely didn't enjoy the acne and I assumed once I became an adult that it would go away, but it hasn't. That's something. But I despite, you know, the negative things about how I grew up and all that stuff, I really, looking back at it now, I can definitely say it was a good time. Mm-hmm. There was sure some bad things and some negative things, but like as a whole, I think I hit just the right time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the Mormon thing, I was into swing music.
Because they're big on the swing. They're big on the partner dances.
That brief period where swing music became popular, I was ahead of the curve on that one. So I was like, yeah, no, you want to check out this artist here and check out this artist here, mm-hmm. as far as like the old school stuff.
Yeah.
And then like, of course, grunge was a thing that I was all into.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the best time for me personally, music wise.
Yeah.
I was actually one of those kids that was, because I was into music and a musician myself, I was very adamant about what was good music and what wasn't good music. And
one of those kids.
I would call people out on their taste in music and be such a dick about it. Like it was.
I'm glad you could recognize that now.
It was very much that teenage pomposity of just like, oh my God, I know everything. But, and it's funny because now as I look about it, I was like, I had a Spin Doctors t-shirt, so I clearly
wasn't. Wait, there's nothing wrong with Spin Doctors?
Yeah, everybody loves the Spin Doctors. They're great. But like, I had certain things that weren't, you know, the best thing to be proud of as far as it comes to
music. Wait, so you were proud of your Spin Doctors t-shirt?
I was at the time, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely one of those things you look back and I'm like, I did not have a leg to stand on because that's also when I got into musical theater. And that's also when I got into just all sorts of fun, weird things that maybe weren't the mainstream kind of thing. So,
yeah. So I have to ask this because you're an actor. How did you get into it? Was it because there was a show, they needed more men and they pulled you into it? Or was it because you were actually interested or some other reason?
Yes, it's all those things. The high school that I went to had a theater department and
where are you from? Tell the audience.
I went to Escondido High School. Nice. I've lived in Escondido basically till my late 20s.
Okay.
And so I went to Escondido High School. They had a good theater department. They did three shows a year. And I think the first one was a Shakespeare show.
Ooh.
And so I auditioned for a Shakespeare show, which again, because I because of the theater and because of everything, I actually have a way with words. And so I can actually understand Shakespeare, maybe a little bit better than the next person. But anyway, so I got a part in the show.
Who'd you play?
I think I was just like a no name person in the background I think we were doing Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay,
so nice. I think I just played like the guard to the king or whatever. Like that. And then the end of the year, that last show, I didn't audition for because at that time I thought I was going to be an athlete.
Yes.
And I tried out for the volleyball team. And
I can't imagine you playing volleyball.
I can't imagine my doing anymore either.
Yeah.
So that was basically my routine for the first 2 years. And then by the time the second year came around, I was like, I'm not enjoying volleyball as much. So I just, you know, went straight for theater from then on out.
Your wrists hurt too much?
No, I'm painfully white. So I can't jump very high. And so I could only play the back row because I couldn't jump high enough to get my hands over the net to be a blocker. So they would just put me in. So I was basically just playing half the game. So it was kind of like
mostly
a waste.
The people in the front going whack.
Right. Yeah. Like I literally couldn't get over the net to spike the ball or anything like that. I wasn't scoring any points except for doing my serving. Yeah. I was really good at serves and I was really good at like sacrificing my knees to dive, to get those balls, to get them up, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, theater wise, I'd always enjoyed it, but I think it was, hearing Phantom of the Opera for the first time.
Oh my God.
Because again, I was that weird music nerd. I think my brother had a tape of it or something. And I put it on and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're telling me after all these years of my mom making me watch all these crazy black and white Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, you're telling me they put electric guitar in musicals?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
are you more of a Phantom or more of a Ral?
Oh, I'm definitely a Phantom.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't need to ask that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a dumb question, honestly.
I know. I'm sorry. I think you could play both, but no, I would definitely see more as a Phantom.
No, I think time's running out on playing either of them at this point.
No, you could do it. Yeah. You haven't been in that show. I mean, that's not a show that circulates a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things because of it had been on Broadway for so long, the rights weren't available.
Are they available now that it's not on Broadway?
I think
or will
so.
They become available?
They probably will. I mean, you got to make money somehow.
Yeah. Well, do you, because I've heard a million people say, well, I don't want to see middle schoolers putting on Phantom of the Opera. Right. And is it going to get bastardized in that way?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. So I think
I mean, I kind of don't either. Yeah.
I'm with you on that, but I think that's the only thing that was available is like, was the school version that you know, high schoolers could do or whatever. But I think most high schools like recognize, oh, we don't have a giant chandelier. So how are we going to do this?
Could they get a person to play or like five people to play a chandelier?
Yes. Well, that sounds dangerous, actually. Have, like five kids swinging from the rafters. We're a chandelier. Yay.
I hope that happens, though. Now that sounds fun. I would put my life in danger to play a chandelier, sure.
That sounds like a part I was born to play.
So, yeah, I guess, like, moving to, I guess, pop culture in general. We talk a lot about 90s and 2000s and all that stuff. That was popular when I was, like, I guess, a kid, 8, 7, whatever. Do you have much of an opinion on that time?
An opinion as far
of, like,
as
pop stars, boy bands, all that shit that like invaded pop culture.
Well, you know, the things that you like, those pop bands, no, they're terrible. Like,
you're not a big NSYNC Backstreet Boys person.
I still laugh every time I hear I Want It That Way, because if you know the story of that song, it was written for like a K-pop band.
Really?
Then, yeah. It was written for like one of those K-pop bands, which at the time was way ahead of its time because they weren't.
Yeah, okay. I'm surprised. K-pop I've never gotten into, which I'm kind of shocked by, but because it's so my speed. But yeah, K-pop was around in the 90s and they were going to do.
So they had written that song for like a K-pop type band.
In Korean or English?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
They had written it for a K-pop band in that language. Mm-hmm. And so then they, you know how music works, like a writer writes the song and then they just sell the song. So they sold it to the Backstreet Boys and had to interpret it into English. And that's why the lyrics don't make any sense at all.
You are my fire, my one desire. That was something entirely different.
Right. Exactly. It translated to something different. And that's why some of the phrases don't line up as to like how we normally speak.
Yeah. Cause they never say what that way is. So right, maybe in exactly. The Korean version, yeah.
Maybe it makes more sense. We'll have to find out.
Yeah. So I guess kind of getting into the movie.
Xenon 3.
Yes. So we're doing Xenon Z3 today. So I like gave you a list of movies to choose and I was kind of explaining them and I was like, this one's about space. And that is what appealed to you about it.
Maybe if you say it, I believe it.
You don't know why you chose it.
I don't know why I chose it. Actually, somebody asked me the other day. I was like, I don't know. I don't remember why. It seemed like such a weird choice. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because I would not have thought you would choose it, but I'm glad you did. Are you glad you did? No.
I have chosen poorly. It's definitely not something that I would have watched on my own. Yeah. Since it's the third, have you done the first two?
I've done
movies
the yet? Other two. Yeah, the first one was one of the, I think probably like the sixth episode I did of this podcast. I really like the first one. I assume you haven't seen the other two?
No. My plan, my plan was to watch Z3.
Yes.
And then if I felt so inclined to go back and watch the other two, upon watching Z3, I decided I don't need to torture myself by watching the other two.
Right, he doesn't feel that's fine. I will say the other two are much better. The first one's, I mean, I think it's very good. It is what it is. Like, it's not, you know, a masterpiece, but I like it a lot. It's one of my favorite DCOMs. But the third one is definitely the worst one. But
that's just kind of like normal trajectory for projects in the first place. Like, the first one's a success and then the sequel, and then there's like even less money for the third movie. So you can just like it kind of progressively just like money wise and production wise, there's less put into it usually.
There was some things in this movie that I was we'll get into it. But yeah, so this movie came out on June 11th, 2004. What do you think you were doing that day?
I don't know. I was trying to
almost
think
19
like,
years ago. Yeah.
2004. What was I doing at that time in 2004? I think that was my heyday of my music when I was playing in bands was 2004, I think. Mm-hmm. June, I was probably at that point in time, I was in a Pearl Jam cover band.
Are you for real?
I am for real, yes.
Oh my God. Wait, what, did you sing or did you play the guitar?
I played guitar and backup.
Okay. Oh my God. How did you like being in a cover band?
I enjoyed it at the time. I think I've always had issues with like writing my own music because I'm such a critic and a harsh person on my own stuff. Like I never really got into it heavily. I do it a little bit, but I never got into it heavily. So I don't know that I would ever have the chutzpah to actually make an original, you know, band or whatever, but being in a cover band, that's just fun. That's just good times. You know, yeah. I mean, everybody likes the stuff that you're playing. So it's an easier kind of thing to sell.
Yeah. So I guess we'll get into the movie. Let's get into Xenon
Z3.
So what were your first impressions of the movie? You didn't know anything about Xenon and her whole trajectory. So what did you think?
I think within the first 2 minutes,
yeah,
I knew that I had set myself up for a special kind of disaster.
Yeah.
The intro, the beginning of it is so weird because A, you don't see Xenon for the first thing is like her Maggie and Cassiopeia.
Oh yeah, but they go like Cassie.
So they're like sitting there. Yeah, they're on the beach talking about her, and then like, you know, you don't see her until like a scene later. But I was like, just that dialogue alone of those two girls talking is like, oh man, I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, this is gonna be bad.
This is not just, you know, sci-fi like that you make fun of. This is just they're trying to be as weird and campy as they can be. So
yeah.
And I'm not a snob. Like I've watched a lot of bad sci-fi movies and stuff like that. And it's fun and it's kitschy and it's, you know, you just do it and it's fun. But this was like, it wasn't like even the kitschy kind of stuff like sci-fi. It was very much like a teen sci-fi kind of thing. I just laughed because of the smoke monster or whatever.
Are you talking about like the Selena lady?
Yeah. What ends up being the moon goddess or whatever.
Yeah.
But I actually questioned that opening, you know, attack. What was she trying to accomplish by
when Xenon's trying to learn how to drive the little spaceship like pushes her so that she actually helps Xenon. I don't know. I mean, I think in later on, so there's this like spirit moon goddess lady named Selena who is like a legend, but she actually exists and is very different from what people think she is, and she's trying to get Xenon's attention because she knows she's influential, which you would know. She always saves the day. She's a hero established in this universe, as you probably figured. So throughout the movie, she's like messing with Earth in kind of like in some ways, I thought it was supposed to be like paralleling global warming. It really wasn't. Did you think that too?
I was like, oh, are these people trying to make a global warming movie?
Yeah. Not really. Yeah. I guess this was,
or at least raising attention to global warming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of things where they're fucking with the weather. They're making a snowstorm in Hawaii and they're like, I think they're making it really hot in other places and they're making like cows fly around, which isn't really a statement on global warming. But yeah, basically in the movie, there's going to be some teen spacey competition.
Yeah.
What did you think of that whole plot line? Xenon and her friends are competing and this handsome Australian guy, I guess, is competing.
Some sort of accent. Yeah. I couldn't quite place it.
Yeah, I couldn't either. It's New Zealand, Australian, somewhere in between. But yeah, what did you think of the whole competition prospect of the movie?
Yeah. I mean, it's as far as like a fun plot to, you know, get things going. Sure. Yeah.
The guy, the handsome competitor guy, what did you think of him? Did you think this guy's going to end up being kind of a dick?
Yes. And I think that's obviously that hyper masculine, like I'm going to win kind of thing was definitely, I'm sure what the director was like, this is your character, go, you know, like, and I think he played it well. The thing I actually wrote down here, like as far as like characters or whatever, one of the first things that I wrote down is, why is Maggie such a bitch?
Oh yeah. Okay. That's another thing is she is a bitch. She's in every movie and she and Xenon are always like rivals in the first movie. So here's a little wrap up of that. So first movie, she's like 13. She lives in space. It's great. She gets in trouble a lot. As you see, she's a little bit of a rebel. Her parents are like, we're punishing you. We're sending you to Earth to live with her aunt, who's in this movie as well. Yeah. And then she kind of hates it. And Margie is her name. She is one of the Earth girls, who she's like the popular girl in school, and she doesn't like, basically Xenon is
competition.
Yeah. And she, like, you know, this boy who Margie likes Xenon. And so she kind of pissed off by that. And then the second movie is set in space, and Margie comes to space for some reason. So she's in everyone, and they're always kind of like weirdly friends, but kind of not, because Margie's a straight up bitch. But sometimes
it's got that Mean Girls kind of feel of like, we're friends, but we're not friends.
Frenemies,
I guess, is the word.
Yes. I think she's, and I think a lot of people are jealous of Xenon because she wins everything. And
sure. She's the golden child. Yeah, exactly. I get
that. She's kind of like the Harry Potter, gets all the luck. You know, and so another plot line in this movie is that Xenon's aunt Judy and Commander, do you remember his name?
I know the actor from
the movie. Oh, you do? Wait, what do you know him from?
I recognize him from all the other things that he's done. He's one of those guys that does a lot of stuff. He works on a lot of things, and I can't name them at all at this point, but he's also done some other things. Like, I know I've seen him in like a big name like movie as like a cop sidekick or something like that.
A cop sidekick?
Like a detective sidekick or something.
Interesting.
But yeah, I of the people in that show, him and Raven were the only people that I recognized.
I was going to ask you, so you know Raven, yeah?
Of course. Okay. Everybody knows Raven, which I thought it was interesting that it was just Raven for this movie. That was her credit, was just Raven.
Yeah, because I would say she's the most famous person in this movie. And so it was weird because, like, you could tell that she had absolutely no time to be in this movie.
Of course, everything's green screen. Yeah, everything's green screen. Yeah.
And so it's like she's like green screen from Hawaii where she's studying, because I think this is when That's So Raven was on. Do you have any experience with That's So Raven, knowledge of it whatsoever?
I knew it existed. I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
No. Oh, okay. Do you know her from like the Cosby Show or anything, or you just know her from being in pop culture?
Yeah, it's gotta be the Cosby Show. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, because she was on that when she was like, I don't know, 2 months old, basically.
Why is Protozoa in this movie?
Oh my God. Okay, this is actually fun that you didn't watch the other two. I was actually watching this, and I was like, I'm really curious what Jacob thinks of Protozoa. So Protozoa is in every movie too.
I gathered that. Yes.
He's one of my favorite characters just because I think he's so fun. So he was actually played by a different guy, a totally different race in the other movies.
Something that Amanda brought to my attention.
She did? Okay. Was she kind of pissed off by that too?
She wasn't. She just thought it was weird. She's like, wait, what happened to the other guy?
Yeah. I was, when I watched this, because I liked this film trilogy a lot when I was growing up, and I watched this one as it came out, and I was like, what the fuck, who's this guy? He's a big rock star, super popular in the first movie and the second movie, and in this one he's considered very washed up, especially compared. So he's this like space, he's the first rock star to perform in space. I think he brought that up in this movie, he was, so it was like iconic. But he's kind of, he's aging out. He's 31, which is a huge ass deal. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the one line that stuck out to me in the entire fucking show. I wrote it down as like, you're not old until you turn 30.
Yeah.
That stung a little bit. That you can tell some like 20-year-old writer was writing that, or at least trying to encapsulate the mind of a teenager. 30 is so old.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it gets worse.
It does.
30 is just the start of the downhill.
But it starts going downhill after that.
Oh,
is that something I have to look forward to?
Yeah, I don't recommend living past 30. Okay. No, but like, again, from story structure, like, he did not serve a purpose at all. He was just there to fill up time. It was very prevalent and obvious to me that he was from the other movies, and that's why they had to shoehorn him
in. Yeah, they had to have a resolution for him. Yeah. There's this new band called Cosmic Blush. What did you think of? So she's kind of like the new bitch that like everyone likes.
They're the Backstreet Boys now, and he's you know, Spin Doctors.
What did you think of her in that band?
Actually, I, as far as like, you know, Disney Channel music stuff like that I'm not very well versed in. Like, I thought that the songs were, you know, they were nice little songs, fun little pop songs. I could definitely see like little teenage girls like singing along. I'm sure somewhere some actress has that as her audition song somewhere, you know, like, hey, this is something from Xenon 3, you know?
I mean, maybe I should use one of those songs.
There you
I don't
go.
Know if that would be. Do you have an opinion on some musical theater talk, singing non-musical theater songs for auditions? Do you think that's a stupid taboo?
I don't think there are. I don't believe in taboos when it comes to auditioning. Me personally, like, if you find a song that you rock in, just sing it. Like, you should never be worried about it. I mean, it's an idea that they want you to do something that's in the same, to use a fancy word, milieu of the show.
That is a fancy word.
Yeah, I know a lot of $5 words. it's generally like the general idea is, you want to show them that you can sing this material that's in the show. But again, if you want to have your best foot forward, sing what works for your voice.
Do you find auditions and callbacks, like, is there one that's more intimidating than the other? Or are you like, you've done it so many times and you're like,
I do get very nervous when it's, when something's on the line, you know what I mean? Like, when it's really important, I do get nervous. And especially if it's around somebody that you're not sure of or that they don't know you, like, it can get into my head. You know, on a personal note, I think last year there was some decisions that I made, you know, for doing shows and things like that, where I kind of second guessing it now. And so I think my idea for this year is to just, you know, when something pops up, just go for it right away and not like, not worry about it, you know, because when you try to plan out your year or whatever as an actor, you're like, oh, I'll audition for this show, and then I'll audition for this show, and then if I get in this show, I won't have to audition for this show. So, like, you can plan things out, but then, hey, you don't get cast, and then so it's the next one, and then, well, that wasn't exactly my dream role, but at least I'm working. So it's it's always give and take, and you always want to do the best you can, but it is an interesting kind of weird nomadical kind of existence when you're you can't really plan it out is what I'm saying. So it's, you can do your best and that's about all you can do.
Yeah. This was actually something I talked to you in real life too. Cause I think last year, I kind of fucked up and I waited around for one show in particular, but a few, because I was like, well, you know, I think I'm going to get into that and I really want to. And so I let other opportunities pass me by, and then that show didn't even end up happening. So I regret that. I think you can't, even if there's shows you really want to do, you can't bet on anything happening. Acting is so unpredictable. Does that bother you, or are you just like, nah, it's the way it is?
Does it bother me? Sure, yeah. Like we were saying, you can't make someone make the right choice, and I'm always the right choice.
Yeah, of course.
But like it bothers me for like half a minute, and then I'm like, it's just, this is the way it is. And either you'll get in or you won't get in. And if you don't get in, you can't blame yourself, because, you know, they've known this person since forever and they've worked with them this many times. And like, I get the appeal of hiring the same people because you know what you're going to get. But at the same time, I'm kind of a person who's willing to take chances on things. You know, I'm always looking for something that's not expected, you know?
Yeah. I feel like people don't like nepotism until it benefits them. And which it definitely has benefited me in more recent times. I got cast in the same role before. So I guess like, I can't really complain. It just is annoying when you're not on the right end of it. But but I digress. I guess we'll go back to the movie.
You know, three.
Yeah. Okay. So Xenon is in this competition. I think she's doing fairly well. There's this anarchist guy who keeps interrupting the competition. Yeah. What did you think of him?
He had actually a nice little story arc. And again, it kind of goes into that global warming, you know, kind of mission statement that maybe they weren't explicitly trying to go for. But like, it's as far as someone who's trying to show reality to Xenon, like, he definitely did a good job of that. Like, you know, there are stakes when you're, you know, life, you know, there's always going to be stakes and there's always better ways to do things. I think he was a good job of showing that story wise. His is probably like the best arc.
Okay. You're right about that. Yeah.
I did have a question about when he was on the moon. I thought it was interesting that he was just in Zumbar's office the entire time. I was like, is there no space jail?
So they're holding him captive because he keeps interrupting. Wait, is it Zumbar Lumbar? The main guy in charge of the competition who's kind of shady, something like that?
Yeah, the guy who's throwing the competition. I'm pretty sure his name was Zumbar.
Okay, we'll call him Zumbar. He kind of reminds me of the guy, Stanley Tucci's character in Hunger Games. Have you seen Hunger Games?
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, I was actually concerned that his voice was entirely voiceover. Like he was just miming and then it was somebody else doing his voice.
Oh, yeah.
It felt that way because it was such a very radio announcer kind of voice.
I was hoping you would do the voice. Yeah, that's exactly. I can't quite do it. I mean, I'm not a man, but yeah, it's like that. He's very, you know, very artificial looking and acting. And you can tell there's something up with him.
Yeah, he's wacky and wild, and he just wants to do what he wants to do. So, yeah. But in a malevolent kind of way.
Does he have ulterior motives?
He's not outright telling people that he wants to, you know, claim dibs to the moon and everything like that, which is the main plot point of his evil plan, is he wants to entirely, you know, put burger chains on the moon and living on the moon and stuff like that. He wants to claim dibs, essentially.
Yeah. And which is, I mean, like, we don't have to get too deep into this because I don't know how spacey you are. I'm not quite spacey. Do you feel like this is paralleling how people wanted, you know, colonize Mars?
Oh, I'm sure at the time, I'm sure it was very like a topical discussion. Like they were trying to choose current topics that were, you know, of the world that we were in. And it's certainly something that as human beings, we've all thought about, you know, colonizing the moon and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you believe the moon is real.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's your opinion on that?
I have not had any moon cheese, so I'm pretty sure it's real.
Have you? This is kind of a deep cut. Have you seen, you know, Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah.
Have you seen the episode where they go to the moon, cut out and like a piece of it and put it on crackers?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Because I know he loves cheese.
Yes. So yeah, that's one of the most iconic episodes for me because I think everyone thinks the moon tastes like cheese and really it's very dusty and unappetizing. In the movie, Xenon's aunt and the commander that she's married to are adopting this young girl.
Let's talk about Dasha.
Dasha, yeah. What did you think of Dasha? She's kind of, and she wants to be just like Xenon. What did you think?
Right. That was what I was going to ask you is, do you think you could live with a little mini you walking around, like trying to impersonate everything you do?
I have an older sister and that's it. So I never had a younger sibling. I always wanted to, but that's the biggest complaint I've gotten, especially with girls who have little sisters, is that they want to be just like you, which I wanted to be just like my sister. So I think that would have annoyed the fuck out of me. What about you? Has anyone ever mimicked you? And because you have younger siblings.
I do. No, I mean, again, I can't remember that far back and I don't really remember that much about my childhood, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there were moments where somebody was copying somebody or whatever. It's just the way it is. Would I like a little miniature me? No, I would find that annoying as fuck. Yeah.
Do you think as soon as someone started trying to dress, act, talk like you, you'd be like, stop?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Although, I mean, it's not like I have some like iconic, you know, fashion or anything like that. Nobody could really try to copy.
Do you not feel like imitation is the greatest form of flattery?
I think sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, you know?
Yeah.
I think it just depends on the case.
That's true, yeah. I think in this case, she gets pretty annoyed, right? Well, I don't know, because, you know...
It's so weird. Like, the whole... That's the other thing that I wanted to broach, was the family dynamic thing just immediately happens. Like, immediately, we're a loving family. Like, it's so weird. I feel like there was probably, like... pages and pages of the script that just got thrown out in the editing.
There must have been. Yeah, because so she's like a foster kid, which I don't really know how, because this isn't, I think the year is like 2070 something. So maybe
2054, I believe.
Oh, okay. So this is 2054.
It's not that far down the road.
30 years in the future. So I will be alive, hopefully. And so, yeah, she's a foster kid and she's 10. She doesn't look 10. She looks 13. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And also, I thought she would have been a little rougher around the edges if she's a foster kid.
I mean, that's what we're used to as a character. Like, if you've been in the system, you're a hardened kid. You're like, yeah, I don't need these people, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a character trope we've seen a million times. So maybe they decided to go the opposite way. But it definitely felt so weird that, like, within, like, a scene, they're, like, a loving family. Like, I think they actually say, I love you and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's really quick.
So, yeah, she's basically following Xenon around the whole time.
She follows her up to space.
Yes, she does.
Runs away.
They're on Earth in the beginning. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that. So this is kind of split between Earth and the moon, space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At some point, Xenon gets accused of cheating when it's really Selena, the moon goddess, who's messing with this. So what did you think of the first meeting between them?
Oh, well, I laughed out loud for the moonwalk was just hilarious to me. Yeah. Especially like the vinyl spacesuit. Like it wasn't even like a real anything close to what a real spacesuit looks like. But thing that I landed on just kind of questioningly the most about was the ending of the look of Selena.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. What did you think
as she actually comes out, you're like, is that like, is she going for like a Scottish goth punk look? Like what is going on there?
That's exactly how I would describe it. Yeah, she's got like a spiky hair and chains and
some weird flint, like straight out of Hot Topic, like straight out of
Hot Topic. Oh, perfect. Yeah, no, that's what she is. And she is a, I guess, English accent, so like kind of a
I couldn't pay attention to her accent.
They
I
have
was just
strange choices in what characters they give accents and why. I think like all the people with like non-American accents are supposed to be kind of eccentric, and a lot of them aren't very nice. But yeah, no, Selena is messing with Earth because she doesn't want them to create settlements on the moon, and she knows that Xenon could stop it. She has confidence in her, but she's not very nice. She almost chokes Xenon.
Yeah.
At some point, what like takes away her oxygen or whatever with their powers.
And then like messing with the gravity for some reason, like, hey, look, we're doing the thing. Let us do the thing. We're trying to get out of here.
Yeah. So they're trying to get everyone off the spaceship because she's going to destroy it, basically.
Yes. Yeah. But, well, that's what I noticed is like there was still like buildings and things like that. But as long as that main pod gets out of the way, everything's fine.
So they're getting everyone out. Protozoa has a spaceship. He saves the day. And
because he just happens to be there, because that's what the book said.
Yeah, so he saves the day. And do you think everyone is like willing to humor him and watch him perform because he saves them?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, as I recall, some of the people getting onto the spaceship were they didn't know who he was even then. So yeah, like maybe he doesn't get the attention that he wanted out of it, but you know, he gets to sing with the girl group at the end. So
yeah,
all is right with the world.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it ends. Xenon ends up with the anarchist guy who wants, cause I guess, I mean, he wants to be with her because she did what he wanted her to do.
Now that you say it out loud, yeah, it sounds very stalkery. This is probably problematic.
So, yeah, I guess we kind of reached the end of the movie. There's a performance with the Cosmic Blush and Protozoa. Did you like the song? What did you think? It's called Out of This World.
As far as fun teen, you know, end of movie kind of songs go, yeah, it worked. Like, it was a little catchy. You know, it had its moments. Do I think that I'll put it on my playlist and listen to it again? Probably not. But
you probably will never listen to that song again.
Probably not. But you know, again, working musicians need to work. So you know, I don't know who did the soundtrack or the score to this show. I did not catch that in the trailer or the credits or what have you. But I'm sure it was just some guy at home, you know, playing on his piano, trying to be a working musician. So you can't fault him for that.
That's true. Do you think if someone wanted to hire you? As okay, we want you to write love songs for teens, and we're gonna pay you, you know, maybe a fair amount. Would you do it?
I would. I don't know that I could do it. Yeah, I don't. I think, funny enough, I think lyrically, I think I would write well as a teenager, but I think musically, I don't know that I could write something that teenagers would consider music these days. Mm. I don't think I'd be good at it. You know, yeah. I think it'd be a waste of their money, probably.
but if they said, no, you're the one we want for the job, would you do it?
I'll give it a try. Yeah. And I think that's when I think about my lyric writing, I think it seems very teenager.
Yeah.
As a grown man, like, yeah, why are my lyrics like a teenager? What's going on here?
I have to ask. Okay, so that's the movie. Before we get into opinions about the movie, on the topic we were just talking about, were you the kind of person who brought guitar to school and played it in the quad, or am I assuming wrong about you?
Guilty.
Ah!
But it was mostly, yeah, I mean, this would have been high school. This wouldn't have been middle school, but yeah, like definitely... once I got into high school, yeah, sure. I definitely brought my guitar to school just because I was bored and wanted something to do. Yeah.
Did you ever write a song for a girl?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Again, because I was always just so hypercritical of my lyrics and
okay. Things like you would that. Never have written something for someone else and earnestly performed it for them.
No, I don't think I've definitely like done covers for people before, sure.
Aww, okay.
Never my own material.
Okay.
I think when it comes down to it, like I can put like chords and music together, but I think it's just the lyrics. I'm always just too critical about and too, you know, I don't ever think are any good.
Okay. I'm sure they're better than you think, but it also, I think it's good to not think that your own work is the greatest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ego can be a bad thing for a lot of reasons. Yeah.
I agree. So yeah, that was Xenon Z3. What are your opinions?
Well, I'll put it to you this way.
Okay.
If you've seen Xenon and you've seen the sequel, there's no reason you're not going to watch Z3.
Yeah.
So whether I tell you it's, you know, trash or not, you're going to watch it anyway. So don't listen to my opinion on that. But as a 40 something year old man, would I have watched this if it wasn't for this lovely little podcast? No. As a 40 something year old man, should I have watched this unless it was for your podcast? No.
So if someone age watching this independently, you think that's weird?
I would have questions about them and their sanity.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, like I said, I missed out on so much of this stuff. So if it's something that you go back to for comfort or whatever, like this is, you grew up watching this kind of stuff. Yeah. There's absolutely no reason not to watch it. It's, mm-hmm. it's not like it's going to make you a dumber person or anything like that. It's a cute little fun little, you know, sci-fi romp.
What would you rate it out of 5 stars? And what were your, if you're being really critical of it, what were your main qualms with the movie?
Main qualms about the movie? It's all just kind of like, you know, middle of the road kind of stuff. So there's nothing like one particular thing that's just, oh, it's so bad. It's so terrible. Like the dialogue is weird and it's weird on purpose though. It's like all the major, the macro, the vega omega, like all that stuff. It's very kitschy and I'm sure that's what they were thinking teenagers in 2054 are going to be talking like, or at least that was their projection. And I'm sure all that stuff's in the other two movies as well. So,
yeah. You
know what, again, if you've seen that other stuff, you know what you're getting. So like, was there any one particular thing besides the special effects? I did actually do a little quick research because,
hey, thank you.
There was a line in the background where Zumbar was being interviewed.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I used to be something of a pod racer too. And I thought I was like, are they trying to be meta? Like, because the prequel Star Wars movies had mostly come out before then.
Yeah.
So pod racing was a thing.
Yeah.
That maybe they were alluding to the Star Wars. And then obviously we know the meme about I'm something of a scientist too. The first Spider-Man movie came out in 2002. So maybe they were like tongue in cheek kind of doing a reference to that, what would end up later being, you know, the meme that we all know about, you know, from Spider-Man. I don't know whether they were trying to be funny and reference both those things, or it just happened to be a natural bit of dialogue. But I thought that stood out to my ear. I was like, ooh, that's fun. Looking at it from a perspective other than my own, you know, old man opinion, like, sure, I would say 3 out of 5 stars. It's not going to, you know.
Oh, hey, that's more than I thought you would give it. Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to wow you. You're not going to go, you know, away thinking, oh, that was the greatest movie ever. But it's not terrible. It does its job. It's a fun little, you know, Disney Channel movie. So
yeah,
it's not like they're, you know, putting a gun to your head saying, watch this movie. You know, you did this to yourself on purpose. And I'm sure you knew what you were getting when you went into it. So,
yeah, I don't think there's anyone who's offended that this isn't a super top tier movie because they should know what they're getting into. Yeah, I would rate it the same. 3 out of 5. It's not as good as the first scene on No Way. And the second one is not as good as the first. Anyway, it's kind of the traditional 1, 2, 3 rating.
Yeah, it's going to go, you know, downhill. Yeah.
This is kind of off topic, kind of on topic. Do you, how do you feel about the fact that like a lot of musicals these days are like adapted from movies or other things, instead of like original content? Do you have like a strong opinion on it?
Well, my opinion on that is kind of the same as everyone else. There's a reason why they're going to this well. It's because they're having a hard time getting original works that radiate in the same way. And I think that's one of the reasons why like Hadestown is such and Hamilton are such phenomenons of their time, is because they're mostly original works,
yeah, you
know, based on other things, obviously. But yeah, like as far as like the Disneyfication of Broadway, I'm definitely not a fan of that. Like,
I'm not either.
We don't need a Beauty and the Beast full-on musical. We don't need like, you know, an Aladdin musical. It's just, we can come up with new story.
Yeah.
As far as music goes, I think again that Disney kind of style of music is, it can work on Broadway, but at the same time, it's also just cheesy. And you know what you're getting. It's it does a good job of evoking whatever emotions at the time for the song, but it's almost, I don't want to say disposable, but it almost kind of feels like that way. Like it's not important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any new Disney movies, like, I don't know, cartoons, I guess, that I don't know if that you're not necessarily the audience for it, that you're like, oh no, that's actually good. Or is it just kind of like pass you by?
I generally don't catch things when they're in the moment. You're absolutely right. Like I don't go out seeking, you know, that kind of stuff as far as entertainment. My lady friend, Amanda, she definitely loves that stuff. So
That's cute.
She does. So like I'll see stuff out of the corner of my eye, or like I'll come home and I'll watch like the last half of something. Mm-hmm. But I can't really, nothing really comes to mind. That's like, I know Encanto was big in the last couple of years. I watched some of it and it was like, you know, it was all right. It was interesting to me. Like it was fun, but generally I think what the issue is because I was inundated with all that stuff as a kid, that was literally my only entertainment.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to see it anymore. Like my brain just can't handle more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I did like the Toy Story one, the one they did with Captain what's his face that Chris Evans did the voice for. I can't think of the stupid name. The one that they based Buzz Lightyear on.
Oh, is it called Lightyear?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, I watched that recently and I thought that was a fun little, but I think a lot of people were just kind of like, it's got lesbians in it or something.
Wait, there's lesbians in it?
Same sex partnership. Who cares? Honestly.
Yeah. Like, I good for, I mean, Disney's been wedging. Yeah. I don't
want to go off on a rant about, you know, anti-wokeism, but I'm like, just, it's life. Get over it. You know, this is the way people are. Just people love who they love. And as long as it's not, you know, a child, I'm okay. Yeah. With it, you know?
My thoughts exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I should watch it. I don't watch a lot of Disney movies other than for this podcast. I watched Turning Red. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I watched Turning Red too, actually. Yeah.
Okay, I liked it. I thought it was cool. Did you like, I'm going to ask you this question because why not? Did you like that they talked about periods in a Disney movie?
I thought it was cool. Like, again, it's very much, you know, why are we denying these things exist? Why are we, you know, ignoring what's in front of our faces? By all means, let's talk about it. Let's show what real life is.
Yeah. Do you think that puberty should be more discussed in media?
I think if we're being honest with ourselves, the lack of talk about sex education and just the human body with children, I'm not going to tell you when's the right time to start talking about it because I don't know that. Like, I think that should be for smarter people, but like, there's no reason not to talk about it. Like,
yeah, I agree.
We can't live in a world anymore where we're just denying things exist or we don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. Like, honestly, just bring it up, talk about it, make it seem like it's not a big thing and no one will think it's a big thing 10 years, 20 years down the line. Like, honestly, there's no reason to have these hangups. We're not in puritanical London anymore. You know, we may have started off on the Mayflower, but we're pretty far from that now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. I hope in the future it's not considered weird. I hope it's just like the same thing as like sneezing. It's a part of life. And why are we being so awkward about it? Yeah. So I guess from that, let's briefly discuss the fashion in this movie. What did you think?
My note here that I wrote down says, wow, the future is very colorful.
Yes. Yeah, it was super colorful. It was very like, I mean, it's Star Trek-y, but even more vibrant. A lot of A-line shapes, a lot of Margie in particular. And I've said this when I was reviewing the other movies, kind of dresses like Jackie Kennedy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I actually wrote down that not the last outfit she wears, but like the last one she wears when she's on the space pod or whatever, her dress was very much like Fred Flintstone's outfit.
That's what I was thinking.
Like a blue scarf kind of thing. Like, yeah. I was like, what, who let that pass? Like, who decided that was the right look?
Yeah. I think I like it. I think like she in particular, like, okay, they're all kind of wearing quirky clothes, obviously in space, like a lot of clear jackets, like almost like a raincoat. Yeah.
Not the Australian kid, but the other, the save the world kind of guy. Like a clear vinyl trench coat almost. Yeah.
Yeah. It had a collar. What did you think? Would you ever wear something like that?
I hope not.
Really?
But at the same time, like, I'm not going to lie. Like if it happens, I'd wear it, you know?
Oh, okay. Nice.
One of the things that I was never like the most fashion forward kid, and especially in high school or whatever, but like I definitely dipped into my dad's closet and wore like 70s leather coats and things like that.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, who cares? Like, just be original, be something, be different, you know?
Yeah. So I guess, like, that's kind of the fashion. We're kind of wrapping up. Is there anything you want to promote? I know you do not have Instagram, but anything?
I am not on the socials. As far as stuff to promote, there's an animated show called Primal.
Oh, okay.
I was really wowed by. It's an adult, like, animated. It's the same guy who went on to do the Clone Troopers show.
Okay.
His name is Gennady Tartakovsky or something. He's got a crazy name, but
yeah.
The animation and the story is beautiful because there's no words in until, like, maybe the second season. It's just like this prehistoric man and a dinosaur and, like, their relationship. So there's no dialogue throughout the entire thing, but you're seeing all these really interesting stories unfold without any words. So it's really cool.
That's really cool. That's not like something you see very often, is no words.
Yeah.
Art,
yeah.
Here.
I mean, I think that's why I was so intrigued by it. Really impressive stuff.
Okay, cool. Yes, watch Primal. Now I want to. It's on
Primal.
HBO.
Yeah. Anything personal? No, I have nothing to promote other than let's try to save the planet. You know, global warming is a real thing. Whether we started it or not, let's try to make it better.
Yes, I agree.
My own conscious decision is to, like, not buy anything off of Amazon, not only because I don't think Homeboy needs any more money, but also because they're notorious at overpackaging and everything. So
yeah.
Like, be smart about where you're getting stuff from and why it's packaged that way, and see if you can make it better. I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think Xenon would be proud of us.
I think this,
need her help to save the planet. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Be your own Xenon.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great way to end it. Just be your own Xenon.
Exactly. On that note, thank you for coming on. You were very fun. I was really interested to see what you thought of this. And it was fun talking to you about it. So cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. And join us next time when you watch a Disney Channel movie.